Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Before Pesach, we're going through different malachas. I think we covered the malacha of Shochet. Not sure whether we covered everything that we had in mind to discuss, but we did speak about Shochet. The next malacha on the list is Mafshit. Hefshit is when you remove the hide from the animal. After it's dead, if you remove the hide from the animal while it's alive, that's the Tveris Yisrael writes on Mishnayis and the Kalkelos on Shabbos that would be kalachayad. That's not the normal way to do the malach of Hefshit. We don't live on a farm, so the shayla doesn't come up by us. Mapshit, okay. Then you have the next two that are listed in the Mishnah, on Moleach in Ma'abed. And the Gemara says Molech Ma'abed is really the same thing. It's Hainuach. So Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh both say on Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis. They both say it's a mistake in the Mishnah. Should not be listed as two different malachas, namely putting a ton of salt on the hide in order to convert it into leather or to convert it into parchment. And Ma'abed is the same thing. You put chemicals on in order to convert it either to parchment or into leather. So the Gemara says it really should be one. But we have a tradition that there are 49 malachas. So the Gemara says you have to add on the sartate. Yeah, what's the story with Maleach and Ma'abed? So the Gemara says, what if a person salts a piece of flesh? So if he salts a piece of flesh, just sprinkles on a little bit of salt, or salting it to get out the dam, that's not going to be on Malacha Deraisa. But if he salts it to preserve it, they didn't have freezers years ago, so they would salt it that it should be preserved. So that's a Machlekes and the Gemara. So one opinion is Hamalech Basar, to keep it for that it should preserve for a long time, is a violation of Ma'aved, and that would be an Issa Deraisa. And the Gemara says, no, Rava says, Ein Ibed Ba'ichlan. Ma'abed is only on things other than Minat Torah. There's no Ma'abed on Eichlan. Tosis points out there, and I in Hamid Beis and Masechah Shabbos, that there is Ma'abed Midrabbanan. But there's no Issa Deraisa. The Gemara in Zvachim talks about the mitzvah of Malicha. There's a din you have to put salt on all of the karbonas that you burn on the Mizbeach, all the Emurim that are burnt on the Mizbeach. Some people mistakenly think that salting the meat of the karbonis is in order to get the blood out. There's nothing to do with getting the blood out. You're burning it on the Mizbeach. You zorek the dam shanashama yotzuba that comes from the neck. You zorek the dam on the Mizbeach. Why should you want to take out the blood? No. The dinah malicha by mincha is mochomer, the dinah malicha by emurim. The Rambam paskins, the mechudish dikipsak, the Rambam paskins that malicha by mincha is ma'akev. The Mishnah Menachem says, Lem Malach is kosher. If you didn't salt it, it's good, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. But the korban mincha, you yotze, the Rambam paskins are not yotze, it's possible, but yevit. By other korbanis, if you were makta the emurim on the mizbech, you didn't salt them, but yevit, it will be kosher. It's just that you failed to fulfill the mitzvah, but the korban will be kosher. So the malicha by mincha is mochomer than the malicha by emurim. But the Gemara has to have a separate pasuk that not only does the mitzvah malicha apply on the weekday, 6 days a week, it even applies on Shabbos, even though it involves a malacha, to be malach the flesh is a malacha, but it's mutter to be machal Shabbos for the purpose of, just like hakrovas hakarbonis, a korbach is mana kavua. Is Decha Shabbos, Shchita is a malacha, and Haktore, when you burn, is a malacha. Havara is not only an Issa, if you strike a match and you make a fire. If there's a fire, you throw in a piece of paper, or you throw in a piece of flesh that it should burn. That's also a malacha of Havara. So the Gemara needs nonetheless, it's Mutta. That's then the Korban says, Manakavu is Mutta. So the Gemara needs a pasuk to say that you're permitted to do malicha on Shabbos. So the Mishlah Melech quotes that the Bali HaTaisvis, I think in HaTaisvis we don't have it, but he's quoting from what we have printed on the margin of the Gemara on the side of the Melman Shas. Yeah, but they call the Shita Mukubetzes. It's not like the Shita Mukubetzes in Bava Kama and Ksubis, where they quote big chunks of Rishonim. Shittim Kol Betzer Sankachim usually is more Ariches of the Balei HaTosfos. They have their Tosfos more spelled out. Sometimes they have more Balei HaTosfos are quoted there. So the Mishlei Melech quotes that his time it was a Ksav Yad. Now we have it printed on the margin, on the side of the page in the Gemara, that the Rishonim asked that Kasha, why do you need a Pasuk to tell me that Melicha on Karbonis is Mutar on Shabbos? The Gemara Pasuk is a Melicha Bo'ichle. Rabbi says it's not an Issa Deraisa to do Melicha on flesh. It's not an Issa Deraisa. So the Rishonim answered, because a Melicha Bo'ichle means food that you can eat, that's Aymed Lachila, and you're putting on salt to preserve it, to keep it for longer. Over here, it's inedible. The things that you burn on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to eat. It's not Aymed Lachila, it's Aymed Lahaktore. So since it's not Aymed Lachila, so that exception to the rule doesn't apply. Aymed Licha Bo'echlin doesn't apply. But with the Rabbanim, there is. With the Rabbanim, it is also to do Melicha on Shabbos. If the melicha is going to have an effect on the food, the Gemara talks. There's some. I think that's what they said. If you sprinkle salt, if you have let's say a half of a grapefruit, so a grapefruit has an acidic flavor, and it's very sharp. It's a little bit sour, but if you sprinkle a little bit of salt on top of the grapefruit, it'll become sweet. That's the chemistry. It'll become sweet. So when you put salt on top of certain, let's say put salt on carrots, I don't know. I don't think the salt has an effect on the carrot. When you eat the carrot, you'll be eating salt at the same time. So you'll enjoy it better. Some people enjoy putting salt on everything. But if you put salt on a vegetable, it has an effect and it changes the whole flavor of the vegetable. Not just that you're eating the vegetable with the salt. The salt has an effect. So that's when it's also with the Rabbanim. That's the whole sugya. So Tosfos points out that the Melicha Bo'echlin is ben HaTorah. But with the Rabbanim, there is an Isser Melicha Bo'echlin whenever it accomplishes a major change. In Shulchan Aruch, they talk about the Ge'onim came up with a Chumrah that we observe that if they shechted the Behemah, let's say on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and they still didn't salt yet, in order to remove the dam of the behemoth, the dam from the capillaries, the blood that goes in the arteries and the veins, that's not going to come out by salting. So that you have to yank out the arteries and the veins. After you yank out the arteries and the veins, and you take out the chelev, you take out the gid anosh and the shuman agid, okay. So then you have to salt the meat in order to get the dam out from the capillaries. That's an issa deraisa. The blood in the capillaries is an issa deraisa. There's no koris. Not all dam that's osim in HaTorah has koris. Only dam shanasham yotzibo or dam shebelev, dam akonis belev. So the dam in the capillaries is not dam shanasham yotzibo, but still it's a din deraisa. You have to get it out. If you plan to cook the flesh anyway, so it's going to become dam shebishlo. So dam shebishlo is a machlekes in the Gemara Ashkenazim for sure paskin. The dam shebishlo is only the rabbanon. It's not an isa deraisa. By Sfardim, it's a bit of a question. What does Rabbi Yosef Karo paskin? Sfardim usually follow something with Rabbi Yosef Karo. So that's a pilpul whether the Rabbi Yosef Karo also agrees with this psak of the Rambam or not. I think most of the Sfardim assume also, like the Rabbi Yosef Karo also agrees that the maskanas of Gemara is. The dam shebishlo is only the rabbanon. Why is dam shebishlo only the rabbanon? Ki ani netzatim lechem ala mizbech lechaper. The Chumash says we're not allowed to eat chelav adam because that belongs to gavoya. Even though we're eating chelav adam of a behemah schulin, it's not a korban. But still, chelav adam is reserved la gavoya. So the Gemara says that dam shebishlo is not kosher for zrikas adam. If you have a korban. And before you zark the dam on the mizbech, you cooked it. Then you're not yotzei. Same thing. Yayim mabushal is not kosher. Lenisach. There's a mitzvah mechasam and iskem ke meduber. You have to do nisach hayayin in conjunction with many karbonis that are brought on the mizbech. So the nisach hayayin has to be yayin she'ena mabushal. Yayin mabushal is no good. Same thing. Let's say if you have the emurim, So instead of burning the emurim, when you burn the emurim on the mizbech, so the smoke is supposed to rise to the skies. So we visualize it as if we're sending email, as if we're sending the korban. The word korban means a matana. As if we're sending a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if he's in the sky. The sky and the heaven are really two different things, but the smoke goes up to the sky, so it's, it represents the idea as if we're sending the korban lagavoy. So that's the reach nichayach, is only if the flesh that you burn, the emurim that you burn on the mizbeach, is raw. But at first you cook the emurim and then you burn it on the mizbech. That's not reach nichayach. So the dam can't be mevushal, and the yayin, nisach hayayin, can't be mevushal, and the basar, if you're going to be the chaleb that you're going to burn on the mizbech, or korban oil, you burn everything. Kulakol, you burn everything, not just the chaleb. So, so the din is that if the shecht, let's say the shecht had an animal Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, so you have to cut it up into smaller pieces. You can't take a whole animal and salt it. First, you have to remove the skin. You got to put salt on top of the skin. It's not going to affect the flesh. You have to cut it up into smaller pieces. Then you have to rinse off all of the blood on the surface, and then you have to put the salt. The Chachil put salt on all the six sides, top and the bottom, northeast, southwest, all the six sides of the cube of the piece of flesh. So there's a chumra from the Gaonim that you have to salt the flesh within 72 hours of the Shechita. So if they shechted it Sunday morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, to Monday, to Tuesday, to Wednesday, you have to do the Malicha before Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock. If you wait till after 72 hours, three full days may slice pass by, so then there's a chumra from the Goyim that we will not succeed in removing all of the dam. So you can't salt it afterwards and then cook it. You have to broil it. Broiling will take out much of the dam, and whatever dam will remain will be mutter. Whatever dam will remain will be mutter. But after you broil it, then you're not supposed to cook it again. If you salt the flesh within 3 days, so then we assume it takes out all the dam. Whatever dam remains behind is called mol habasa, the juice of the meat. And then you can even cook that piece of meat. But if you waited 3 days, if you waited 3 meslays, 72 hours, before salting it, then the Goyim came up with this chumra that salting is not going to help, and you have to broil it. And after you broil it, you have to eat it like that. You can't cook it later on. You can't cook it later on with roita, because more dam will come out, and that will be also whatever dam is mitzmas tzomis, whatever dam is in the broiled piece of meat, that'll be mutter. When I was a little child, in the middle of the Second World War, many of the trucks that they used to be used to deliver the meat from the slaughterhouse to the butcher shop were used for the war effort. They were using trucks to send soldiers to different places. Even after the war, I remember seeing a lot of trucks. We lived in Pennsylvania then. I remember seeing trucks on the street full of soldiers, even after the war was over. So that was taka problem. During the war years, a lot of times, the butcher shops wouldn't get the meat within 3 days. So the rabbanim, my father was a rov in a few cities, so my father would have to have them put a sign up in the butcher shop: all of the meat that you buy today is overflesh, that's what they call in Yiddish, over. It's past the 72 hours, and you can only eat it by broiling it, and you can't reheat it after that. So this is the Chumash HaGoyim. Where did it come from? So the Shagas Aryeh writes, and the Shagas Aryeh has in the regular Shagas Aryeh, he talks about Kriya Shema and davening, Baruch Haim Dikat Tatuks. And then there's another volume, Shul Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes, where he has a few tshuvas on your day topic, Eben Ezer, Agunas, different things. So he writes about this. So he says, what is the mocker of this Chumash HaGoyim? Where does it come from? So he says it comes from the Mishnah in Yevamos, that if a woman is married and her husband is missing, you don't know whether the Nochrim murdered him or not. And then you find the dead body. So if you can identify the dead body, that's her husband, so then you know that he's dead and she's permitted to remarry. Well, she needs chalitza. Okay. So So what happens if the police ascertain that he's already dead for more than 3 days, more than 72 hours? So then it says in the Mishnah, we cannot be sure, even though people know what he looked like and they identify his body, but if it's after 3 days after he was killed, then the body is going to change so much, he can't rely on the Hakara. Unless the Gemara says there, unless he was soaking in the river, unless the dead body, we know that he's dead for more than 72 hours, and we took him out of the river, and right away after we took him out of the river, sometimes Talman drowns. So he's in the water for a couple of days. When you take him out, so if you identify the body right away, then it's okay. If you wait a little bit, you don't have another 72 hours. You don't have another, you have an hour or two, right after you pull them out of the water. There was a Maisa Shehoya a couple of years ago that a girl from my neighborhood was married to a young Talmud Chacham, and he was a Rebbe in a yeshiva in the south somewhere. And he went swimming somewhere, and he was sucked in the water, and he drowned, and they couldn't retrieve the body. The woman would be an aguna. So after a couple of days, finally the body floated to the top of the river. They found it. And they had to have the Adam who recognized him. They knew what he looked like while he was alive. They had to have the Adam there right away. Because if the Adam don't recognize the body right away, it's going to change. It's going to change seriously. When they had the Pan American airplane that was shot down over Lockerbie, England or Scotland, whatever it was, and the treasurer of the OU was on that, Joel Miller, Allah Hashem, was on that plane. So they identified, and the Rabbanim didn't get to identify the body till way after 72 hours. They said the face was all blown up, it was totally different, but he was locked into his seat. And they knew that was the seat that he was assigned. So they identified him. You couldn't identify him just based on the fact that they recognized him because the body was blown out of, the face was blown out of proportion. But he was locked into his seat, so that was the way they identified. So the Shagasai writes that this is that din in the end of Yivam, is that's the mocha for the Chumash HaGadol. That after a Behemah is dead, 3 days later, the whole body is going to change so much, won't be able to identify it. So they said it's going to change so much, won't succeed in getting out enough dam. Anyway, so that's the Shaila. Let's say they shechted a Behemah on Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Wednesday to Thursday to Friday to Shabbos, 1 o'clock. And then they didn't salt the flesh, and then they realized Leil Shabbos, Shabbos morning. If they don't do something now, the flesh is going to be over flesh, and you won't be able to salt it and then cook it with Reuter afterwards. You'll only be able to broil it. You'll be able to eat it broiled. Okay, so you're not allowed to soak it in water on Shabbos. That's an act of hachana. You're not allowed to do hachana. Not allowed to do hachana. Some say it's an act of achana. Some say it may even be considered a malocha, misakin mana. Misakin mana, many say, misakin mana means you fix the kli, mana. Memnun aleph is a kli. So misakin mana by ochlim is also, let's say, the Mishnah has in the end of Beitza, I think, like Mevochana Beis, you're not allowed to be mafish chumas and maisis on Shabbos and Yom, you're not allowed to be mafish challah. Unless you needed the dough on Yontif, you're permitted to do Eichel Nefesh, Milisha V'Yelach. So if a woman, or whoever, someone is mixing flour with water on Yontif, they make an Isa and it became Chayv and Chala on Yontif, then you're permitted to be Machish Chala on Yontif. But it became Chayv and Chala, became Tevel on Erev Yontif, on Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to be Machish Chala on Yontif. That's Misak and Mona. The Mishnah says it's Midrabon. So then we must have discussed it already. Why is it only Misakamanim and the Rabbana? Why isn't it Nisa Misakamanim and Atar? The Samachranim said because Misakamanim and Atar is only on a Kli. Here it's Oichlim. So there's no Misakamanim there, Isa, on Oichlim. And others say they're not so convinced that that's correct. It could be Misakamanim applies even on Atar and Oichlim. But over here, it's only the Rabbanim, because it's only a tikkun mana because of the mitzvah. Because we're not allowed to eat tevel, so we have to be mafresh trumas amaisin. So if you ask a goy, you tell a goy, here's bushels and bushels of food, apples, potatoes, pears, whatever it is, and you take a whole bunch, you take 2% and you put it aside for the kohen. Then you take 10%, you put it aside for the levi. Then you take 9%, you put it aside for a maisa oni, or maisa sheni, whatever. So you're going to ask a goy, what did he accomplish? He said, he took away a lot of the food. What do you mean? He didn't accomplish anything good. He took away half the food. Takes away 2% for the kohen and 10% for the levi, and 9% and 10% of what's left. There's going to be 9% of everything for the maisa oni. So some Acharonim say that it's not Misak Manuka, only Tikkun in Halacha. It's not a Tikkun in Metzias. In common sense terms, he just took away a lot of food. He didn't, so some say that that's why it's not Misak Manuka. But over here, so that's the Shaila. If you want to soak the meat in water on Shabbos, in order that it shouldn't be Oiva flesh, if you soak the meat within the 72 hours, then you have another 72 hours to salt the meat. So to soak the meat on Shabbos is achana. You're not allowed to do achana. And some say that it's worse than achana. Maybe it's a malocha of mesak and mana. You could have eaten it if you broil it. You could eat it. Anyway, they say you're not allowed to. So some achranim say if the meat is sitting in a, if the meat that's going to become oiva flesh on Shabbos afternoon, at 1 o'clock, if it's sitting in a container and you can pour water on top of it, so they recommend that everyone should wash until the Shadayim for the Friday night meal, for the Shabbos morning meal. Wash your hands over there. You're not doing anything specifically for the purpose of preventing the meat from becoming oiva flesh. You're just washing your hands. If I'm going to put the meat in a container and then I'm going to pour the water in, so putting the meat in the container is something that I did on Shabbos, Avur Chol. Let's say you're going to have a Malava Malka on Matzoi Shabbos. You want to set up the tables late on Friday, Shabbos afternoon, for the Malava Malka. So that's an Issa de Rabbanim to do Achana. Let's say if you finished Shalashudas and you had milchiks for Shalashudas, you don't want the milk to spoil, let's say in the summertime, and it's very hot. You don't want the milk to spoil, so you don't want to leave it out of the refrigerator. So you put it back in the refrigerator. So that's not really Achana. That's not hachana for chol. If you set up the tables and the chairs for malav malke, that's hachana l'chol. You're not allowed to do hachana. But if you put the milk back in the refrigerator that it shouldn't spoil, that's hachana today for today. The milk that I have, I don't want it to get spoiled. I'm doing hachana today for today, that the assets that I have, the milk, the food that I have, shouldn't get spoiled. So that's not hachana. So that's what they say. If you want to take, if the meat right now that's going to become over flesh in the middle of Shabbos, is not in a container. It's sitting chveis on the floor, sitting in the refrigerator. And then I'm going to put it into a container in order to be able to wash until it's a dime, and have my wife and all the children, all the grandchildren, everybody's going to wash until it's a dime on top of the... There's no roch roch. We're not talking about a roch roch washing in the morning. Talking the till it's a dime for bread. So the water will be a little dirty because my hands are a little dirty, but that's the world doesn't come to an end. It's good for soaking the flesh. That's what they say. If you didn't do a special pu'ula for the hachana of the flesh, then it would be mutter. But and even if you hold that it's a shtikel malacha, somehow also they think a malacha misak and mona, that you make it roy to not only to broil it, and now you made it roy to salt it, and to cook it in Reutiv later on. They're saying that would also be mutter if you're washing your hands on top of it. So that's the issue of Maleach, salting on Shabbos, salting Oichlim. Min HaTorah is Ein Ibud Ba'Oichlim, but Tosfos points out Midrabban and it's Osir. And Midrabban and it's Osir, even on vegetables a lot of times. If the salt is going to have an effect on the vegetable, it's going to improve it. So that's going to be ma'abed mid'rabbanan. So then the Gemara said on Daf Ayin Hei Mevei, so these two malochas, malecha ma'abed is really hainu hach. It's chodah, it's one and the same malocha. and we should take one of them out, either leave in the Mishnah Malach Ma'abit and put in the Malach of Mesartet. What does Mesartet mean? So Mesartet means I make lines. The Tiferes Yisrael and Mishnayos gives you the definition. Mesartet means you make lines on the parchment, or you make lines on a piece of paper or something, either for the purpose of writing or for the purpose of cutting. I make lines in order, I'm scratching out, in order to know exactly to cut the straight line. So that's Malacha on Shabbos. Mesartet is a Malacha on Shabbos. Then you have another Malacha is Memachek. Memachek is if you have the animal has hair on the surface. So once you did Hefshit, you remove the hide from the flesh, so then you want to make the hide, it's going to be rough on the surface because of all the hair. So you're going to smooth out the rough side by removing part of the hide. So that's a malacha memachik. I take something let's say I have a piece of wood that's rough on the surface, and I take sandpaper and I rub it down and I make it smooth. I made it smooth by removing part of the rough part of the wood. So the same thing over here. I make the piece of parchment or I make the piece of leather smooth by rubbing it with sandpaper or something and removing part of what's there. So in Europe, a lot of times the streets were not paved. And the people would walk in the wintertime, there would be knuckles, there would be big puddles, mud puddles, and they would be wearing leather shoes. And the shoes would be full of mud on the outside. So when they came to shul, or when they came home, there would be a metal bar in front of the shul, metal bar in front of the house, and you would rub your shoe on the metal bar to remove all of the mud. But not only would it remove the mud that's on the surface, the Gemara says you're permitted to wash dishes on Shabbos. Either dishes are sticky, let's say they had cholent, and the plates are sticky. And then you got to wash off the plates to use it in the afternoon. Let's say you're going to use the same plates Friday night and Shabbos morning for another meal. So how can you wash off the plates? Why isn't that the machek? The answer is, when you wash off the dirt from the plates, the dirt is on the surface. The dirt is, you're not removing part of the plate. If you would be removing part of the plate would disappear after you wash it 10 times. Every time you're going to take off 1/16 of the thickness of the plates, is going to disappear. So it doesn't. Let's say when you brush your teeth. So Moshe Feinstein came out with an issa that you're not allowed to use toothpaste because when you brush your teeth with toothpaste, it's a malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik was told that Rav Moshe said it was us. He didn't know why. So he thought that it was memachik. So he said, how can it be memachik? What, you're removing part of the, you're taking off the dirt that's stuck on the surface of the teeth. That's like washing up the dirty plates. Then the Gemara said, that's not memachik. That's not memachik. If by brushing your teeth every time you would remove part of the enamel, so if you brush your teeth 100 times, the teeth should disappear. And even if it's true, what they say, that a mashuhu does disappear, every time you brush your teeth, a mashuhu disappears. But it's so intangible, because we brush our teeth every day, and the teeth don't disappear. So it's so insignificant. It's a mashuhu de mashuhu, so that's not an isar memachik. So a memachik is if you have a rough surface, let's say the shoe has all the mud on the surface, and I make a smooth surface on the bottom of the shoe, on the sides of the shoe, by rubbing the leather shoe on a bar of metal, and that's going to scrape off part of the leather on the shoe. The shoe is not going to disappear, but if you're going to rub the shoe, a lot of times it will make a dent. It will be noticeable that part of the leather was removed if it's going to be a sharp bar of metal in front of the house, in front of the shul. So part of the leather will be removed. Or let's say a person has a brand new pair of shoes or even an old pair of shoes, and he wants the leather to be softer. So he puts in oil in the shoe. Or he puts oil on his foot, and then he puts his foot in the shoe. But the purpose of putting the oil is not because he wants to put oil on his feet. He wants to put oil in the shoe to make the shoe, the leather of the shoe, softer or whatever. So that's that's a told of the machik. The machik is if you have a rough surface and you make it smooth by removing part of the rough surface. You have the rough piece of wood and you use sandpaper to remove it. You have the rough parchment or the rough leather, the hide, and you remove the rough surface and it makes it smooth. This is memareach. The memareach, let's say, my shoes are sloppy and I make them smooth by putting on shoe polish. When you put on shoe polish, not only does it, the shoe looks prettier because it has the color that it's supposed to have. Like this, you walk in the rain and the snow and the shoe gets discolored. So you put on shoe polish, you're dyeing the shoe, that's it. So they are a little bit, but it's also, it also makes a smooth surface on the shoe by adding something on. If one would smear, let's say, butter on top of a piece of bread, that should also be memareach. By smearing something on, you make a new smooth surface. Let's say the piece of bread was rough. If you would push your hand on the surface of the slice of bread, it's rough. When you put butter on, so you just make it smooth. So that should really be a malocha of memareach, which is a told of memachek. But the klal is a memareach bo'ichlan. There's no violation of memareach bo'ichlan. But if you have a shoe and you put on polish, or let's say the floor, you have a linoleum floor, and so many people walked on it, so the floor is all sloppy and is no longer smooth. So you're going to pour on wax on the linoleum, and the wax is going to be making a new smooth surface on the floor. So that's a memareach, is a told of memachik. Or let's say, what's memareach? Let's say you want to put on some medication, the person. So applying medication on Shabbos is a gzera derabanan, shemi yishachik samamanim. Shemi yishachik samamanim. Unless the person is a chol shem b'sakana, then the Mishnah Berurah paskins that there's no, the gzera shemi yishachik samamanim doesn't allow. It doesn't apply. The Mishkan as Yankov has a tshuva, he doesn't agree with that. He thinks based on the simple reading of the Gemara and Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin, there's a little bit about refuah b'Shabbos. Refuah b'Shabbos is a whole perek. Masech Shabbos had 24 prokim. That's what the Meforshim on the Gemara point out. In the days of Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited the Mishnayos on Masech Shabbos such a way they should have 24 prokim. The 24 prokim are the 24 pieces of jewelry that the Shabbos is a kala, boy chala, that the kala should have. If you look in the big Mishnayos with the Tiferes Yisrael commentary, so they usually have also the Melech HaShloimeh. Melech HaShloimeh is one of the Sfardish Gedolim from centuries ago. So he sometimes has Kabbalah ideas. So he has this in the beginning of the Masechta. The Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made it 24 prokim. These are the 24 pieces of jewelry that the kala has to have. So this whole Perek Shemana Shvatzim. It's all about refuah b'Shabbos, but there's one daf in the middle of Avodah Zarah, daf Chav Zayin, two block, where the Gemara talks about aspects of refuah b'Shabbos. So the Mishkan Es Yankev, Rabbi Yankel Karlina, he learned in Valojin, he was one of the early Talmidim of Valojin, Yeshiva Talmidim of Chaim Valojina. So he thinks that even for Chol Shein B'Sakana, even for Chol Shein, not only for a boy with a mechesh b'alma, even for a chodesh emes sakana, also you're not allowed to apply medication on Shabbos unless there's a suffix sakana. But we don't follow his opinion. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it. Every so often, the Mishnah Berurah does quote Mishkan Es Yankev, but this one he doesn't quote. And he leaves it the way most of the poskim said that for a chodesh emes sakana, all gzeiros are mutar. So you're not allowed to take refuah b'Shabbos. That's only a gzeira. Shema. Shachik Samamai Kinsek, whoever swallows a pill is a violation of Tochein. He didn't know Trina. It's Exeri Shemi Shachik. Maybe it may lead to Tochein. That's why we don't allow any refuah b'Shabbos. But since it's only Exera, then we say, V'chel Hashem Misakon, you're allowed to. But you only allow refuah. Let's say he's going to take some kind of salve and smear it. Some gooey stuff, and smear it on the makkah, and then put a bandage on top. So to smear, let's say the baby has a dirty diaper, and sometimes it's irritated, his behind is irritated, so you got to put on a lotion. So if you make a new smooth surface by adding something on, that's memareach. Is it told of memareach is a told of a machin. Machik is if you take a rough surface and make it smooth by removing part of the rough part of the surface. And the mareach, you make it smooth by adding something on. So that's an iser, that's a toldum, that's a malocha.
Rav Schechter, so nowadays shoes also wear off, you know, where the heel is. So, for example, if you wear shoes, you know, for a year, the same shoes, the heel noticeably wears off. Not just back then, but nowadays. Is that a problem?
What do you mean the heel wears
off? The heel, if you wear shoes, you know, Shabbos shoes or whatever, long enough so you can tell how the heel is missing, you know, half
relatively.
So,
what?
Yeah, so it, would that be a problem of mamachik?
I don't think so. You're not interested in making it smoother. It doesn't make it smoother. It just rubs off part of it. It gets ruined. Part of it gets ruined. I don't think that's a malacha at all. No.
So how is it different than you said in the olden days, people used to have shoes that they would try to clean, but it takes off.
Right, they would want to remove all of the mud on top of the leather shoes, and they would have a metal bar in front of the house, in front of the shul, and they would rub the sides of the shoe, the bottom of the shoe, so that would take off part of the leather of the shoe. So in making it smooth, not only did they remove all of the mud, they remove here and there a little bit of the leather of the shoe. So they made it smooth by removing part of the rough part. So that's the malacha, the machik.
Mm-hmm. So that's different than what we do nowadays by just simply wearing on.
We just wear it, so it wears out a little bit, but we're not making it smooth. We usually assume that the use of bar of soap is an iser of memachek, because if you use a bar of soap long enough, it disappears. Obviously, every time you use it, a 16th of an inch disappears until you use it 16 times. So then a whole inch is going to disappear, a 32nd of an inch. A certain amount of the bar of soap is going to disappear. But that's a shaila because the bar of soap was smooth beforehand. If you have a rough surface and you make it smooth by removing something, that's memachik. Here it was a smooth surface. The top or the bottom of the bar of soap a lot of times starts off as a smooth surface, and by using it, you use up part of the top and the bottom, so you're making a new smooth surface. But to begin with, it was a smooth surface. So that's not 100%, not all the poskim agree that is an iser of memachik. I think it's usually generally assumed that you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos. You use liquid soap. But there were those who disagree, and they hold that that's not an iser of memachik because the surface was already smooth from before. Okay.
And it's not your kavanah anyway. You know, your kavanah is not to smoothen the soap.
Right, but it's a psikreshe. We know that if you use
it, maybe it's mekalkel, you have less soap. Maybe it's mekalkel, you have less soap.
I don't know if it's mekalkel. That's what it's for. You use the soap for its purpose. You're not mekalkel anything. The soap is only to make things clean. You want to wash your face. You want to wash your body. So it accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. Yeah.
Because when you put sand on a baby's stomach and soap rash,
liquid soap.
I don't hear again. What did he say?
Rav Moshe was
machmir
liquid soap.
He writes in his sefer, he has a personal chumra. He says it's only a chumra. He said there's a din of molded. The way the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take ice in your hand and crush it and liquefy it. That's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So there's a machlokes there, Rambam and Rashi. What's wrong? So the Rambam says that it looks like schita. It looks like you're taking an orange and squeezing out the juice. So it looks as if you're taking the snow and squeezing it. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it. Shulchan Aruch has crushing the snow in the siman about schita, about squeezing out the juice from fruits. But Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns that it's molded. So there we spoke the two pshatim and Rashi. So the pashat pshat and Rashi is that molded, if you have something as a solid and you change it from the solid form to the liquid form, It's as if you made a new thing. Molid, you put it into a new... You can't create anything. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create Yesh Me'ayin. Human beings can only change one form to the other. So if you took something solid, you made it into liquid, that's molid. As if you made... as if you made a Dover Chodosh.
If you have a cut and you put on basic tracing ointment, the only purpose is to cover the area. It's not to smoothen anything. And a diaper rash, you just want to cover the surface. You're not looking to smoothen anything, and it's probably not even smooth.
No, but if you rub it with your hand, then it's a basic rash, then you got to make it smooth.
But you're spreading it out. You're spreading it out.
Right. Yeah, but you spread it out in such a way that you make a new smooth surface. What you have to do is, that's what it says in all the modern swarm, you squeeze out a little bit from the tube and you put it on the baby's rear end, and then you put on the diaper, so when the baby's going to start crawling around, so the ointment that you put on is going to spread out by itself. You didn't really spread it with the hands, but if you're going to spread it with the hands to cover the whole surface of the, whatever you have to cover, then that's mamashep sikreshe of mimarech, which is a toldah de mimachik. Yeah.
What if you have a lotion that you rub into your hands and it goes into the skin? It just disappears. So is that also mimarech?
Right. So in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, he quotes that different people ask the shayla of the Chazon Ish at different occasions. So sometimes, on some occasions, he said he thinks it's mutter. And other occasions he said that he thinks that it's awesome. So it's usually assumed that it's awesome, even though everything gets absorbed into the below the surface of the skin. It's not that there's a new smooth surface on top, because the ointment gets absorbed into the pores of the skin, so that's what makes it smooth. So we're machmet to treat that also as memarech.
Let's say you put on oil. Oil is not a solid. That also smooths the skin out.
Right, Sikha is Mutter. So Moshe Feinstein has a Chumre. This he does recommend for everybody. He thinks that if it has to be oil that's not too thick. If it's very thick oil, then it's like Mimarech. Has to be watered down a lot. So Moshe writes, if you have liquid soap, if it's very thick soap, then sometimes it's very thick. He thinks that will be a problem, because that may get absorbed into the skin, and that'll be memarech. But if it's thin, if it's watered down liquid soap, then there's no issue of memarech. But he personally had a chumra of moilid, because when you use liquid soap, you make bubbles. The bubbles are not going to last too long. We're going to wash all the bubbles off. It's going to be not going to be there. More than 5 seconds, it's not going to be there for so long. The Moshe said that he personally has this chumrah, not to use liquid soap on Shabbos, because maybe the bubbles is like molded, just like taking the snow and crushing it and converting the solid into a liquid. Maybe making a liquid into bubbles is also molded. So he doesn't think that it's aser, but he writes in his sefer that's his personal chumrah. But he thinks that if it's thick oil. See, that's problematic. If it's thick oil, he thinks then it should be an issue of memarech. And many disagree. What do you mean? The Gemara never says a difference between thick oil and thin oil. Memarech is if it's a salve or something. But if it's something that pours, oil that pours, you're going to say that's because it's so thick. Therefore, it's memarech. It's questionable. That is questionable. Okay. Then there's a din of mechatech. Mechatech is a malacha. So if you're detaching something that's attached to the ground, mechatech, the mechuber, so that's kotzer. If you break off a branch from the tree, or you rip off an apple from the tree, so that's a malacha of kotzer. Kotzer doesn't only apply to the apples that are edible, even to the branch, the Gemara says. Zayim avetzach leitzim chayv shtayim. There's a malacha of kotzer on the branches also. But mechatech me, the malach mechatech is mechatech betolush. So what do you mean mechatech betolush? I take a piece of meat and I take a knife and a fork and I cut it into a little piece. That's not mechatech. So mechatech betolush is if it's bemido. let's say I have a card, an ID card or a COVID-19 test card, and I want to fit it into my wallet. So it's too big the way it is. So I take the scissors and I cut it the size that it should fit into the section in the wallet. So mechater b'midah, let's say I want to hang up a sign on the wall. So the sign is too big. So I cut it down to size. I have a specific size that I want it to be. So that's mechater b'midah. So if you cut something tolush b'midah, so that's a melacha derais. That's a melacha derais. What if you mechater b'tolush shalom b'midah? So that's a discussion in the Magen Avraham and Hilchas Lulav. Usually, before Sukkot enters, we will take the lulav. Lulav has more than enough leaves on it, so we will rip off a few of the tall leaves, and we'll split them in half. Every leaf has a tiyomis; it's folded over. So you rip off some of the leaves and you split them, and then you take those half leaves and you wrap it around the lulav and you tuck it in. Either you make a knot or you tuck it in, whatever. So what if the fellow forgot to rip off the leaves on the lulav before Yom? Is he permitted to rip them off on Yom? So that's mechater b'tolush shelo b'mida. He's not makpidavke a specific size. As long as the leaf is going to be, as long as the leaf of the lulav is going to be, he's going to use the whole thing. He's not going to cut it smaller. So the Magen Avraham first thinks that it's mutter. Then he says, maybe it's a marasayin. People will think that he's doing a malacha. So he says, maybe you should do it when no one's watching. And then he says, maybe it is a malacha midrabban, even machatach shalom b'mida, machatach patola shalom b'mida. So maybe you should dafke do it ayadeshina. Maybe you should rip off the leaf from the lulav with your teeth. Instead of ripping it off with your hand, maybe you should do it with your teeth. So that's a divan in the Magen Avraham and Hilchas Lulav. What's a din? Machatach patola shalom b'mida. Is there an isa derabban? I remember when I was growing up in high school, so the Rebbe told us that to rip toilet paper on the perforation, or let's say you have paper toweling in the kitchen on the wall, so if you rip on the perforation, that's mechatech betolosh b'midah, mechatech b'midah, you're ripping on the perforation because you want to have that size. And lately, in the last 30, 40 years, they printed the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and also the name of Rabbi Yashiv, I think both of them, that they both thought that this is not called b'mida. It's easier to rip on the perforation. Why should you rip where there's no perforation? But you're not makbid. You don't dafka want this size piece of toilet paper. That's probably not mechatach b'mida. But it's interesting, in the Tiferes Yisrael, Mishnayis, Masechos Shabbos, he has the Kalkelos HaShabbos. He has all the malachas listed off, and he has all the dinim d'rabbanan, all the gzeiros. Whenever there's a tanz on the Magen Avraham and has discussions, very, very good. Mishnah Berurah, every so often, will quote from the Kalkelos HaShabbos. So he writes that if you rip toilet paper to use on the Beis HaKiseh, that's an issue of mechatech. That's a malacha mechatech. He assumes that it is mechatech. Not like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi El Yashif.
What if you have to take a pill on Shabbos, and you have to take a half a pill, actually? Can you cut? You need dafka a half a pill. Can you cut that in half?
I don't think that's mechatech. That's like cutting a piece of meat. Yeah.
But you want dafka a half.
It's not going to be exactly a half. Approximately a half is good enough. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's a problem. Yeah. Then the next malacha in the listing is HaKosev, Ksiva B'Shabbos, is Kosev and Mochek, Atu Malachas, yeah. The din is that it's only a malacha deraisa, you have Ksiva, Ksav Shel Kayama. If it's Ksiva Shena Shel Kayama, it's only an Issa Derabbanan. This same din applies to a get. Let's say a man writes a get, he gives it to his wife, and he wrote it in orange juice. So the orange juice is visible now, but it's going to disappear after a couple of hours. It's not going to last too long. So if he writes a get, and it's a ksav shenu shel kayama, so the get is not kosher. So on Shabbos, it's a din you need malachas machshavas, malach the miskayemis. shel kayam. If you make an oil aroi, there's a malacha of bone, and if it's a bone is only also if it's binyan shel kayama. If it's oil aroi, it's only the rabbanim. Because of the din of malachas malshevus, but over here, ksav shein shel kayama is a din called a terakuda. It's not called ksav. It's not even good for a get. It's a mishnah. The noisy kelim on the Rambam, some of them assume that the din of ksav shel kayama by Shabbos is not identical with the din in Kol HaTarakula. Because the Mishnah in Gittin says that the get has to be written with ink that's going to be shel kayama. If the ink is going to disappear after a couple of hours, then the get is no good. Taisus there are Gittin, and the second parak in Gittin, Taisus there quotes Atasefta. But the Gemara never quotes, the Bavli never quotes this Tosefta. Tosefta quotes a Tosefta. What if you write with ink that will, the ink is good ink that will be lasting, but you wrote on a background that's going to shrivel up and it's going to disappear. You wrote on a leaf. The Mishnah talks about a person writing a leaf, a leaf from an olive tree. Let's say you have the shell of an onion shell. How long is the onion shell going to last? Let's say you wrote in ink a get on an onion shell. So the ink is going to be lasting, but the onion shell is going to shrivel up, it's going to disappear. So it's not shel kayama, the ksav is not shel kayama, not because of the ink, but rather because of the background upon which you wrote. So Tesis quotes the Tosefta, that's also called eino shel kayama, and a get is no good. So the Rambam in Hilchas Gittin, Hilchas Gerishin, only quotes the Mishnah. If it's not shel kayama because of the ink, then it's not a kosher get. The Rambam never quoted the Tosefta. So then I said, Kelman, I think the Magen Mishnah writes, because the Rambam only quotes what's quoted in the Gemara. It's a Tosefta not quoted in the Gemara, the Rambam doesn't quote it. That's a very strange comment. The Rambam is the one who quotes Yerushalmis and Toseftas and Shuvas Hagoinim and such outlandish sources that we don't even know what all the Makaris of the Rambam are. So you say all of a sudden, because the Bavli didn't quote the Tosefta, so that's why the Rambam didn't quote it. It's very questionable. But on Hilchas Shabbos, when the Rambam writes Ksav Shel Kayama, he writes either way it's called Eino Shel Kayama, either because the ink is not of a lasting nature or the background upon which you're writing is not going to be Shel Kayama. The background is going to disappear. So the Prima Gordon points out the way these Nisi Kelim and the Rambam understood it. There are two dinim in ksav sheino shel kayama. If the ink is not shel kayama, that's a dinim called a terakula, that is not called ksav, even by a get. But if the ink is shel kayama, just the background, the paper on which you were writing is not shel kayama, so that's only a dinim in Hilchas Shabbos based on malachas machsheves osvatar. But that din wouldn't apply to a get. That's questionable. That's, I think, the Magen Mishnah says like that, that the Rambam didn't quote the Tosefta in Gittin, because it wasn't quoted in the Bavli, and he holds that the din is not like the Tosefta. But it could well be that the Rambam never meant it. It could be that he agrees with Tosefta. Tosefta quoted the Tosefta in Hilchas Gittin also, that not only does the ink have to be shel kayama, the paper on which he's writing also has to be shel kayama. We spoke about this by kosher. We spoke a little bit about kosher, that kesher shel kayama has to be shel kayama. In Hilchas Shabbos has to be the Tzuras HaKesher, has to be Shel Kayama. If you have an Aniva, it's a Machloikis HaTanayim, Rabbi Yudah Nachachamim. We pass an Aniva, if it's a bow, it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama. And then even if you have a Kesher HaGadi Kesher, with the Tzuras HaKesher is Shel Kayama, but you plan to untie it. It's on a woman's dress or on your shoes. You have a Kesher HaGadi Kesher, but you plan to untie it very soon. You're not going to leave it there for 6 months. You're not going to leave it indefinitely. So in Hilchas Shabbos, either one is called the Kesher Sheino Shel Kayama. Either if the Tzuras HaKesher is not Shel Kayama, or if you don't plan to leave it for a long period of time. What about Kesher by Tefillin? So the Gemara says in the last parak in Erevin, if Aniva is no good for not Chayiv on Shabbos, that's how we paskin, Aniva is the Kesher Sheino Shel Kayama, then Aniva is possible for Tefillin. Kesher Shel Tefillin, Halacha Moshe Sinai. So we would pass on Aniva is no good. So that's what the Avnei Nezer raised the issue. So when you borrow tefillin from someone else and it doesn't fit, the shalrosh is the wrong size, so you make over the kesher. Then after you finish davening shachris, then you do the kesher back, you change the kesher back the way it was before. So you changed the kesher only for an hour and a half when you were davening shachris. then you put it back. So the Rav Neneser says that that's not acceptable for tefillin, because the Gemara, he assumes the Gemara in the last parak in there made an equation. Whatever is kasher shenis shel kayama for Shabbos is kasher shenis shel kayama for tefillin, and tefillin is not kosher. And Rav Soloveitchik said that his father didn't agree. His father said, no, the only thing that carries over from Shabbos to kol ha-tarkula by kesher is the tzuras ha-kesher has to be shel kayama. So on aniva, the tzuras ha-kesher is not shel kayama. But the kafonet that you plan to leave it indefinitely, you plan to leave it for 6 months, that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos based on the pasuk melechus machsheves. But the pasuk melechus machsheves doesn't say that you get to tefillin. So that din shouldn't apply to tefillin. So here also, by Ksav, the Prima Gadim understands the Rambam the way the Magen Mishnah said, that Shel Kayama Mitadi Ink is a Dinikola Tarkula Kaisink. So that applies even to the Get. But Shel Kayama should be Ksav, Shel Ksav HaMiskayim Mitad, the background, the paper on which you write, and that's only a Din Hilchos Shabbos based on Malachs Mashabbos, and that Din doesn't carry over to Get. That's questionable whether that's really true. There is a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. What if a person does ksiva on Shabbos, but he doesn't write words, he doesn't write letters, he draws a picture? So the Rambam says atzor tzura. There's also chayv mishum kosei. Rashi seems to hold not so, that atzor tzura is not chayv, only if you write letters. Kosei v'shtei oisis. But if you make a picture, it's not chayv. So the Mishnah Brura wants to make an afkamina halacha lemais and hilchas tefillin between the Rambam and Rashi. We all know that we put tefillin on the left arm unless a person is a lefty, then he puts tefillin on the right arm. So where does this come from? How did the Tanoim figure this one out, that you have to put tefillin on the left arm? So the Mishkan Yankov has a tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik was ambidextrous. He would sometimes explain the Gemara, he would write on the blackboard. So he would start writing with his right hand, and then he had to write further, so he would switch the chalk in the left hand, kept on writing. And all the students were stunned. What happened over here? He started writing with the right hand, then he switched to the left hand. He said himself that when he would drive a car, when he was young, he used to drive a car, then he got into an accident, and he stopped driving the car. So he said, they would tell him he had to turn left. He wouldn't remember which way is left, because his both hands were pretty strong. So he didn't remember which hand is the right hand and which hand is the left hand. So he said he had a shada when he was bar mitzvah, which arm to put the tefillin on, because he was able to write with both hands. So he says, his father said the psaka is like the Mishkan as Yankov. When we learned Hilchas Tefillin in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, so he said the Mishkan Sankev writes like a Rishon. He loved it very much. He liked the Mishkan Sankev very much. On tefillin and on tzitzit, he thought he's fantastic. The Mishkan Sankev points out, if you learn the Gemara in Hakoy Mitzraba, in Menachos, the Gemara quotes three different Tanoim, three different opinions. How did you come to that conclusion that you put tefillin on the left arm? So one opinion is that it says, Shatmos al Yodecho, whenever the word Yodecho appears in Tanakh, it means the left hand, right? Always the left hand. Even if the person is a lefty, you got to put the tefillin on the left hand. The other opinion is no. It says, Kshatam Ros, Al Yodicho Yudalit Chaf Hei. What kind of way of spelling is Yudalit Chaf Hei? So we interpret the pasuk as if it were written Yad Keho, on the weaker arm. So if a person is a righty, then the left arm is the Yad Keho. If a person is a lefty, then the right arm is the Yad Keho. So you always have to put the tefillin on the Yad Keyo. And then the third opinion of the Gemara is, and there are more paskins like the third opinion. Third opinion in the Brisa, the three different Brises, one after the other. The Gemara quotes all the three. So the third opinion is, it says, "Kshatam los aradecha, uchsavtam al mezuzas beisecha b'sharecha." The same hand that does ksive, uchsavtam al mezuzas, the same hand that does the ksive should do the hiduk. Uchsavtam los doesn't mean you tie a knot. It means you mahadek. When you put the bayashal yad on the arm, on the muscle, you should do the hiduk with the right hand. So the same hand that does the hiduk, the hand that does the hiduk should be the same hand that does the ksiv. So it all depends what hand you write with. So the Ramah writes halacha l'maaseh. So let's say a person writes with his left hand, but everything else he does with the right hand. When he throws a ball, he throws it with the right hand. And when he has to do something difficult, he carries things with the right hand. Doesn't carry with the left hand. Only ksiva he does with the left hand. So the Ramah paskens, everything depends on ksiva. And since he writes with the left hand, even though he does everything else with the right hand, he puts the tefillin on the right hand, because it all depends on ksiva. So the Mishnah Berurah defends the Psak HaRamah. It's very surprising. Rav HaPaskim do not accept that Ramah. Ruba de Ruba of the Paskim, we look in the other Svarim, the Svarim that are Malakit, all the later Achreinim, Ruba de Ruba, they disagree with the Ramah. They say if the fellow writes with the left hand, he does everything else with the right hand, so he's Shadda B'shtayadim. So Shadda B'shtayadim puts tefillin, if a person is ambidextrous, he uses both hands, and then he puts the tefillin on the left arm. So the Rav HaPaskim hold in such a case, he put the tefillin on the left arm, not on the right arm. They recommend, if you won't confuse the child, which it probably will confuse, you should tell him he should put the tefillin on his left arm, because Mi'ikar Adin, that's the... So Rav Soloveitchik said when he was bar mitzvah, he had a shaila, because he was ambidextrous. So he said his father said, the psak is based on the Mishkan Es Yankiv, you take two out of three shittas of the Tanoim. The three different opinions, how do you determine which arm you put the tefillin on? The Yad Keha, or you always put on the left arm, no matter what, or the Yad Sheino Kosevis. The Yad HaKosevis is the Yad that should do the Hiduk. So you always follow two out of the three shittas. So some poskim say, if the child who just became bar mitzvah, most children bar mitzvah will not appreciate this whole combination. So it's not recommended for most children. But if the child is really alert and he's learned, so you tell him he should say the bracha on the tefillin and he should put it on the left arm. In such a case, when he writes with the left hand and he does everything else with the right hand, then after he finishes davening, he should take the tefillin off and put it on the right arm just for a moment in order to satisfy the sheet of the Ramah. Yeah, but that can be very confusing for the child. He may be embarrassed in front of all the other boys in the yeshiva. So if it's going to cause problems, so you don't look for trouble. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah leaves the Psak HaRamah the way it is. The Ramah says the third sheet in Tanoim, the hand that you write with, that's the hand that should do the Kshiras HaTfilin. So the Mishnah Berurah has a shaila. What if the fellow doesn't know how to write? He knows how to draw pictures, but he doesn't know how to write. So according to the Rambam, the hand that he draws pictures with, that's ksiva. So that's chsavta mal mezuzas beisach v'sharechet. That's called the yad hakosedes. So he puts the tefillin on the other arm. But according to Rashi, drawing pictures is not called ksiva, only writing letters. So if he's not learned enough, he doesn't know how to write, then you put the tefillin on the left arm. Then the psak of the Ramah will not apply in such a situation. Yeah. There is a famous machlokes in the Rishonim. The Ramah quotes this odd opinion that ksiva deraisa is only if you're writing either in ksav ashuris, that's a sefer Torah script. If you write what we call ksav meshita, when we write script of Hebrew, you write Rashi script, you write the way we write script all of these. So that's not ksiva deraisa, only ksav ashuris, the ksav, the alphabet of the sefer Torah, or ksav yevonis. Where did this come from? So one marker is the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah says in Gittin, if the get is written in Ashuris and the witness is signed in Yevonis. So the get is written in Yevonis, the witness is signed in Ashuris. So they were Medayik. They were Medayik, a very tiny minority, Shabbat minority of Rishonim. I think the Mishnah Berurah writes it's a Shita Yechidah and we should ignore it. So Chacham Avadya takes the Mishnah Berurah literally, Shita Yechidah, so he says, not a Shita Yechidah. There were two Rishonim who said it. Still a Shita Yechidah. Shita Yechidah doesn't mean there's only one Rishon. It means it's such a minority, Shabbat minority, so you just ignore that Shita. So the Ramah interprets, based on those Rishonim, he interprets the Gemara in the first Perek in Gittin. The Gemara says, Mishumisha Deretz Yisrael, if you're buying up a farm or a house from a nochri, And Eretz Yisrael, if the house belongs to a Jew and you're buying it from him, that's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's in Jewish hands, that's already Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But if it's under non-Jewish ownership and you buy it from the Nachri, so the Gemara says, Akoina Sada Eretz Yisrael, Kosvin Molav Ono, Afilu B'Shabbos, you're permitted to write to Shtar Mechira even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Machal Shabbos for Zionism? Buying up Eretz Yisrael such a thing, Shem Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Hintiru. How can it be? It's a malacha that writes. So the Gemara says, no, it means Amir Liyakum. We permit Amir Liyakum to write the shtar. There were times that the Arabs would auction off to the highest bidder a farm or a house, and they would only have the auction on Yom Kippur or on a Shabbos. So they asked Rav Kook about Yom Kippur. So he said they permitted the representative of the JNF, of the Keren Kayemis, is permitted to have a goy drive him to the Hebron. He wasn't going to stay in Hebron the whole Shabbos. It was a dangerous city to stay in. But he would have the goy drive him, and he would have the goy do the malachas, and he would buy the house. Mishum Nisha Eretz Yisrael, we allow Amir Liyakum. So the question is, and what about other mitzvahs? Only Yisha Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramah quotes the Baal HaLiter, that Amir Liyakum is mutter b'makam any mitzvah. That's not the except the Ramah recommends you shouldn't follow that Baal HaLiter. He says many people, that's the common practice, many people are mekel, let's say, to ask Amir Liyakum b'makam mitzvah, any mitzvah. So the Ramah says you really shouldn't use that kula, even though the Baal HaLiter says like that, because the Baal HaLiter was Advar. The Baal HaLiter was one of the Baal HaTosfos. He lived in Marseille in France. So that's a shita yechida. We really don't hold like that. Others say mishum yishuv eretz yisrael. The Tanaim felt it's important to buy up the land from the goyim. So yishuv eretz yisrael hitiru. There's a Ramban who the Mishnah Brura quotes the Chayyadam. If you have a mitzvah derabim, let's say if the eruv fell down and you want to ask, and it's a whole city, and for sure some people are going to carry, the eruv fell down in the middle of Shabbos. Many people will not know that the Erev is possible. So we would be permitted to ask a goy to do real malachas d'araisa, to drive a van with a cherry picker and go climb up and make knots and bang nails to do mamish malachas d'araisa, because it's a mitzvah derabim. Mitzvah derabim, because for sure many people will carry without realizing that the Erev is down. Or let's say another mitzvah derabim. Let's say there are 10 people who didn't eat shalashudas yet, and it's getting late, it's right before the shkia, and they didn't dan mincha yet, so after dan mincha and they don't have the food, so are they permitted to ask a nochri to carry matzahs for them, to carry food to eat for shalashudas? So some of the Beis HaLevi has a famous psak about this. If there are 10 people, that's called a mitzvah derabim. You have 3 people, that's not called derabim. You have 10 people, so Amir Liyakum is mutter b'makam mitzvah derabim. So that's what the Ramban sort of implies like that. Shemishav Eretzol Hitiru, because Yishav Eretzol is a mitzvah derabim. Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah to buy up. All of Eretz Yisrael should be in Jewish ownership. That's a Shailam Shemishav Eretzol Hitiru. We allow Amir Liyakum to write. Is that only when you're buying up the karka from a nochri? That's a mitzvah derabim. Let's say mishum yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. There was a period of time that in Russia, if you wanted to buy a ticket to move to Eretz Yisrael, you had to go to a government office, and that office would only be open on Shabbos, just lahachas the Jews. That office would only be open on Shabbos. So that was a shaila. You're allowed to go. So a lot of poskim said to leave communism, to run away from the communists is considered a sofik pikuach nefesh. And you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that alone. Forget about the to live in Eretz Yisrael, Yishumish of Eretz Yisrael. But if let's say the person lives under the communists and he's not concerned about the sofik sakana, the communism, they may kill you at any time. He doesn't feel that there's a suffix upon it, but he wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not a mitzvah derabim. So that's, that was a big machlekes. When was it? I think in the 1600s. That was machlekes early achrenim. Mishum yishav eretzol hitira is only to buy it up from the achrim. What about I want to get a ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael? The only way to get a ticket is to do amir liakum on Shabbos. Mishum yeshiva be Eretz Yisrael, that I should live in Eretz Yisrael. Is that also hitira or not? So that was a big machlekes. So some held no. Based on the Ramban at the end of Masechet Shabbos, only Mishum Yishev Eretzol Yitiru, because Yishev Eretzol is a mitzvah de Rabbim. Klal Yisrael has that mitzvah. So, and then there was a third sheet that the Ramor writes, that Mishum Yishev Eretzol Yitiru, the Arab is going to write a Shtar Mechira. What language is he going to write the Shtar Mechira? He doesn't know Lashon HaKodesh. He's going to write in Arabic. He's going to write in English. So Ksiva B'Shal Dushanis is only the Rabbanan. So it's a shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah. Shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah, that's 2 days in Tosfos in Gittin, on that daf, and daf ches on the base. So there are 2 days in Tosfos, we pass on this mutter, based on a Gemara in Masechet Erevin. The Gemara says, Ahu Yenuke, there was a baby boy was born on Shabbos, and they scheduled the bris for the next Shabbos. So in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that you would have to bathe the baby with warm water before the bris and after the bris to make sure that you prevent any infection. It shouldn't be a suffix sakana. So they had hot water prepared. There was a baby. All the hot water that they prepared in advance, it all spilled out. They didn't have any water. So you can't do the bris on Shabbos. So is it permissible to ask a goy to carry, there was a mechitza, when we say there's an erev, you're allowed to carry. In order to have an erev, you have to have two things. You have to have tzuris on pesel, kanim bekam, you have to have poles with wires on top. And then you have to have a box of matzis that's on the shutzas by all the shomer Shabbos who live in the area. You have to rent for the nachum that they shouldn't ask it. So there was an area where there were mechitzas around the area, but they never put away the box of matzis. That's called the chotzer she'enem u'revis. There was a chotzer, there was a big wall around it. It was a Rishus HaYachid Ben HaTor, but there was an Isim and the Rabbanon. Shlomo HaMelech made Gzera the Rabbanon. You're not permitted to carry a chotzer she'enem u'revis. So the shaila was, is it permissible to ask a nochri to carry the warm water? A different Jewish family had hot water on Shabbos. This family was having a bris. All of their hot water spilled out. So the Gemara says it is permissible. Amiran HaNochri is mutter to ask the goy to carry water from one house to the other. It's in the Rishus HaYochid. So the whole Issa to carry the chotzer she'enem u'revis, and they didn't put away the box of matzis on the shutzvahs by order of the Shomer Shabbos. That's only the Rabbanon. So this constitutes the shvuz b'makam mitzvah. So Tosfos has 2 days. Tosfos in Gittin, Avchesam, has 2 days. Maybe that's only bris milo, because bris milo is Deicha Shabbos. Milo b'zman is Deicha Shabbos. Even though machshirei milo are not Deicha Shabbos, that's machlekes ablezer de milo, Ablezer ben Hurkanis holds that you're even allowed to carry a knife on Shabbos in order to do the bris. Even if it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, you're allowed to manufacture a knife on Shabbos. You're allowed to manufacture a knife on Shabbos. So we don't pass like it. We pass can Machshirei Mila not Deicha Shabbos. And Tosfos says, even though Machshirei Mila not Deicha Shabbos, but here it's a Shvuz to Shvuz. I'm asking a goy to carry the Chotzer She'enem u'revis. It's only an Issa Derabon based on a combination of two derabbanans, one on top of the other, Amir and the Nochri and the Chotzer She'enem u'revis. So maybe here the Chachamim are Mekala and Machshirei Mila, because Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Maybe here they agree with Reb Lezer that Machshirei Mila would be mutter if you have a Shvuz to Shvuz. But maybe if you have any other mitzvah, maybe we wouldn't be Mekal Shvuz to Shvuz. There's 2 days in Tosfos. So in Shulchan Aruch they quoted 2 days, and it says we're Mekal. We pass on Shvuz, the Shvuz is always mutter b'makam mitzvah, not only b'makam mila, any makam mitzvah is mutter. So the Ramor writes, the reason why a kind of saw the Beretz Yisrael, cause for mom of honor, I feel the b'shabbos, but permitted to ask the Nochri, the right to Shtar Mechira, on Shabbos, why did we allow it? What happened to the Yisrael Amir and the Nochri? So the Ramor says, because the guy is writing in Arabic, he's writing in English, he's writing in a different in Latin, he's writing in a different alphabet. If he's writing Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Yevanis, that's Ksiva Derais. So the Ramor says the only reason why we make it because it's a Shvuz, the Shvuz from Makamitz. So the Mishnah Berurah says we don't paskan like that. We don't hold like that shita. It's a shita yichidlo legamrei. That's what Chacham Avadya picks on the Mishnah Berurah. Well, how can we call the shita yichidlo? There are two Rishonim that say like that. It's still a shita yichidlo. None of the Rishonim agree. That's not the accepted opinion. There's a Gemara in Gitna that talks about a get that's written in Persian. Persian is a different alphabet. Persian is neither Ksav Ashuris nor Ksav Yavonis. It's still good. That's a difficult shita. That a get is only good if it's written in Ksav Yavonis or Ksav Ashuris. And Kaisav on Shabbos is only if you write. The Rambam says if you draw pictures, also Ksiva. Rashi holds only if you write letters, only if you write it in alphabet. And then the Ramah further limited it, only if it's the alphabet of Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Yavonis. We really don't hold like that. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's a forgery. He thinks that the Ramah never wrote it. The Mishnah Berurah assumes the Ramah wrote it. And we don't paskan like the Ramah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, he thinks that the printers forged this and they put in this false statement in the name of the Ramah. He doesn't believe that the Ramah would say such a thing. That's called the Shvus B'Makamitz. Yeah, the Pashto says we don't accept that Ramah. We hold Kosma Balavono, even if it's Ksav Ashur, it's also Mutter. Yeah. So that's the Malacha of Kosev on Shabbos. There are many things the Mishnah has in the end of Beitza, Daflam and Vavim, a whole bunch of things that are awesome in the Rabbanah. Nekach and Memka is awesome in the Rabbanah, Gzeir Shema Yichtov. Gzeir Shema Yichtov. So let's say I'll sell you a watch on Shabbos. So you walk off with the watch. I give you the watch. There's an Erev. You carry the watch home, and you're not going to pay me till after Shabbos. So what's wrong? So it's Gzeir Shema Yichtov. I may write down that you owe me $25 for the watch. You may write down that you owe me. You may make out the check on Shabbos. Gzeir Shema Yichtov. What if I give you a matana on Shabbos? So if it's a matana of karka. So karka, usually you do write a shtar, so that's probably a gzeir shem yichta. What if it's matana, metaltal? So if I didn't give you the watch, we made a kinyan chalipin, we made a kinyan suda on the watch, so then there's a gzeir shem yichta. I may write down, or you may write down, that I owe you a watch, because you made a kinyan chalipin on the watch, and it's yours. What if it's matnas, metaltal, and miyad liyad on Shabbos? I give it over, and it's a matana. I'm not charging any money. So there's nothing to write down. There's no. So that's a big shame. So the Meiri on Beitza, there's a Mishnah Beitza that if you go to visit someone on Yom Tov, you're permitted to bring him a box of chocolates, or you're permitted to give him a matana, a pair of tefillin. That the Gemara says pshat in the Mishnah. You're permitted to give him a pair of tefillin as a matana. You see from the Mishnah, the way the Gemara interprets that tefillin is not muktzah, it's not a klisha malach delisa. You're permitted to wear tefillin. Tosfos says on that the end of the first parak. You see from that Gemara that it's permissible to wear tefillin on Yom Tov. Shabbos Yom Tov, lav zman tefillin means you're not obligated to put on tefillin, but there's no aveira. The Zohar, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Zohar that there's an isa. Since you're potter, so if you put on tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov, it's a bizoyan to Shabbos. It demonstrating as if Shabbos is not an oath. The reason how the Tanoim derive from the Pasuk, that Shabbos is Lavas Matron, as a Kshat and Lavas on Yodecha, Yotzu Shabbos is Yom Tov to the exclusion of Shabbos Yom Tov, Shein Gufanois. Shabbos Yom Tov, Osi Beit Menes, Osi Liyalom. So if Shabbos is an oath, then you don't need tefillin. If you put on tefillin, you're demonstrating as if Shabbos is not an oath. So it's an insult to Shabbos. And that's what the Zohar says. The Mechaber Hilchas Tefillin quotes that from the Zohar that you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even a chalamoid. Chalamoid is also an oath, and you're not allowed to put on tefillin. But Al Pi Nigla, based on the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Eitzah, it's really mutter to put on, not like the Zohar. So the Mishnah has that you're not allowed to do mekach and memka, to sell and to buy, you're not allowed to. Yeah. And to give a maton of karka. Even though there's no fee charged, but usually a karka you do write a shtar. And to make a kinyan on the tautelin with a kinyan chalipin, but he's not walking off with the object. And also, gzeirish and yichtav. If you give a matnas metautelin, miyad liyad, that's what many say. Shlomo Levilna has a tshuva in his sefer, Binyan Shlomo. He didn't have a meiri. Meiri was printed way after he passed away. But he sort of says the same, that matnas metautelin, miyad liyad, would be mutter. The Gemara says if if you don't have your own David Minim, the first 2 days of Sukkot in each Alechem, so someone gives it to you, Matana Manas Lahachzer, you give it back. So the Bahag, the Rishonim quote the Bahag, how can you give a Matana Manas Lahachzer? It's an Iser Mekel Chamemkar. It's an Iser Kenya. So we would have said, it's Matana Miyad Liyad. Matas Matatam Miyad Liyad. This is Oxerisham Yichtal, like the Neiri, like the Rav Shlomo Aluna says. The Bahag doesn't say that. Bahag says that Bamaka Mitzvah is Mutta. The reason why it's Mutta is because Bamaka Mitzvah, it's Mutta to do Mekel Chamemkar. And the same thing, the Gemara says, one forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. So not only is he not allowed to cook food on Yom Tov and Shabbos, Acherim and others who did make an Erev Tavshilin are not allowed to cook his food. So what's he going to do? He's going to be left with raw food for Shabbos. He won't have anything cooked. So it says, Matan Kimchal Acherim. He should give his food. He should give it over to someone who did remember to make an Erev Tavshilin. And the other person is allowed to Kozman, that the food belongs to the fellow who forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin. Not only is he not allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos, others are not allowed to cook the food for him. But once he gives over the food to the other person, Matna Kimchal Acherim, he gives the kemach, the raw flour, and the other person made an Erev Tavshilin, he's allowed to cook. So the Bahag says, how can it be Matna Kimchal Acherim? It's a gzera, it's a gzera smekach memkar. So he said, but Mokka Mitzvah, to cook for Shabbos is Mokka Mitzvah, so we make. So the Bahag seems to hold that the Gzeira even applies if it's not a Mokka Mitzvah. The Gzeira applies even on Matas Metalkal and Miyad Liyad. Even though there is no Shulbachar, there shouldn't have been a Gzeira Shemayich. So that's the Shaila. A lot of shuls they have the practice when a child becomes by Mitzvah. So the rabbi presents them with a Chumash or a Sefer, a Siddur, whatever, on Shabbos in public. So that's what some say that it's not right. You give even a matana, what's the Mokka Mitzvah? You can give him on Friday, you can give him on Sunday. Who says you have to give it on Shabbos? If you need Shalachem on a Dalet Minim, so you have to have today. If you didn't mak the Kimchal Acherim, so no one can cook the food for you. They can't cook your food because it belongs to you. You didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. But over here, what's the Mokka Mitzvah? So some Rabbanim have the practice that they say, Zoch Miladim Shleibifan, they give the gift to someone else on Erev Shabbos to pick it up and be kind of the matana for the bar mitzvah boy. So when you give him the matana on Shabbos, he's not kind of now. We said we already set this aside for you on Erev Shabbos, and you're not making the kinyan now. Or we tell the boy, we're setting aside the safe, and after Shabbos you can pick it up and you'll be kind of after Shabbos. That's the chumrah. That's the chumrah.
But the chazara is also mutter, which is a kinyan. Matana Amanas Lahachzer, Zora is also Mutter.
Yeah, why is that Taka Mutter? He already was Yaitse.
So if I don't return it, I will not have been Yaitse.
Okay, note that it should come out that I was Yaitse. Otherwise, I won't be Yaitse. Okay, yeah, the Pashto says the Chazor is also Mutter. Yeah, that is correct, yeah. Yeah, the post can have a hole. Okay, maybe believe that it will save some of the discussion for next week. I want to say a brief Vatara on the Sedra. The Gemara points out that the Avodas Yom Kippurim in Parshas Afay Mois, according to the Chumash, it was done in three units. He does one unit in Big Day Zohav, the Big Day Kangar Lavoyalom. Then he does the unit in Big Day Lavan. Then he finishes the Big Day Zohav, and that's it. The Torah Shabbat Pes says that one of the psukim is not written in order, and really the Avoda was done in five units. First Big Day Zohav, then Lavan, Big Day Zohav, Lavan, and then Big Day Zohav at the end. Five units. So the Gemara says every time any kohen puts on Big Day Kuna, he is endowed with a deeper Kedushas Kuna. Gemara learns out from the pasuk, "Bisman shebigdei malem kunos malem, ein bigdei malem ein kunos malem." If the kohen is not wearing bigdei kuna, he's like a zar. So, since he's going to do the avoda first with bigdei zov, then bigdei lov, each time he plans to put on bigdei kuna, he has to go to mikveh. Like a gershon is gar, is going to be endowed with a level of kedusha that the nochri never had before. So he has to be toivel in the mikveh. So the same thing with Kangar on Yom Kippur, he's got to put on Big Day Kuna five times. Each time has to go to the mikveh. So the Mishnah has it all listed out, and it says the Kangar goes to the mikveh, all of it is topic. He comes out of the mikveh and he dries off with a towel. So the Mishnah Malachi asks, why did the Mishnah have to say that he dries off with a towel? Of course he's going to dry himself off. He's going to catch a cold. He's going to catch pneumonia if he doesn't dry off. Or he's going to get the... it's going to affect his skin. Skin won't be smooth. So the Mishnah Malach has a chiddush that maybe the reason why the Mishnah says Olam in Istapeg is because of chatzitza. Because you're not allowed to have a chatzitza in between your body and the big day kahuna. Not allowed to wear underwear. He has to wear the big day kahuna on his body. And if he's tovel in the mikveh, he's going to have droplets of water all over the body. So that's going to constitute a chatzitza. So the Chidor quotes this Mishnah Melech in Hilchus Tfilin. So he says there are people who go to mikveh every morning before they daven shachris. So they have to be careful to dry themselves off well, especially the hair, because when you're going to put on the tefillin shel rosh, if you're going to have droplets of water there, the droplets of water will be a chatzitza between the tefillin and the head, because you're not allowed to have a chatzitza on the shel rosh. That's a machlokes in Rishonim. We pass can you not only the Mishnah in Megillah only said you can have chatzitza on the shel yad. And shel rosh, there is some Rishonim hold that there's not din of chatzitza, but we pass can there is a din of chatzitza even on shel rosh. So that's what the Chidor says. If a person went to mikveh before he puts on tefillin, to make sure he dries off all the droplets of water. So the Mikdash David, Rabbi David Rappaport, well, one of the Goyim, he died in Siberia. When they ran away from the Nazis, he was in Siberia. He told everyone that they're allowed to eat the treif of food that they had there, and he himself didn't have the heart to eat the treif of food, so he died from malnutrition. And he was married, so he wanted to make sure that his wife wouldn't have a trouble remarrying. So he saw to it that there would be Edim who would know that he was dead. Then after his wife went there, Eretz Yisrael, she survived the war. Afterwards, when she wanted to remarry, she did have trouble. Till they were finally makel, they were matter her, because there were Edim who saw that the husband did die. Anyway, so the Mikdash David, he wrote a fantastic... He learned in Slabodka Koilo, and that's when he started learning Kachim. So he says they learned Kachim, and they kept on learning. They couldn't break into it. They couldn't figure out what's going on there. And then after learning it a few times, they finally broke into it. They figured out what's going on. And the Kalal and the Koilo of the rule was that whoever came up with the Chiddush has to write it down. So he wrote these fantastic Svarim. He wrote Mikdash David on Kachim, and one on Zroim, and one on Taras. All three are fantastic. It's like encyclopedic articles. He quotes every sheet that was available to him. Now we have Maswar. At that time, he's fantastic. So he quotes this Mishnah Melech, and he says it's difficult because it's a Mishnah in Parah that when they're making a Parah Duma, also it says the Kohen who's making the Parah Duma is Olam in Toivon and Nikva, Olam in Istapeg, and when you make Parah Duma, he's not wearing Bigdei Kuna. So what does it say, Olam in Istapeg? On Yom Kippur, he can say he has to dry himself off and shouldn't have any chatzitza between the big dekuna and his body. But when the Kohen is making Maisa Paraduma, there's no dinam of chatzitza there. So he has a different suggestion. He says there is a Gemara in Mishnah in Chagiga, in a whole Gemara, that there's a minatora if a person fell into the mikveh and he didn't have kavanas tefillah at all, he doesn't have any chatzitza, so all the clothing is loose on him. He fell into the river and he fully submerged under the water, no chatzitzas. The tefillah is good. And midrabbanan, they made a churma midrabbanan. In order to eat truma, in order to eat kachim, in order to be makir kavanas, you have to have kavana when you tovel in the mikveh. So if you only had kavana for the purpose of eating truma, that's not good enough if you want to eat kachim. If you didn't have kavana, l'shem hakrovas kavana, it's got to be tovel again midrabbanan. So the Gemara says there in Chagiga, what if the fellow was tovel in the mikveh, b'li kavana? He had kavana to eat my sasheni. And then after he's finished with the tefillah, before he dries himself off, he realizes, oh, not only do I want to eat my sasheni, I want to eat kachim also. I want to be makor kavanas in the Beis HaMikdash. So if he didn't yet dry off, he can have the kavana after he did the tefillah, because the drying off is considered the gemara of the tefillah. He didn't finish the tefillah yet. It's a dim ederabon. So that's what the Mikdash David suggests. Maybe the reason why it says Olam in Istapeg, because Midrabanan, the drying yourself off is the Gemar of the Tefillah, and the requirement Midrabanan, that you have to have Kavanah, L'shem eating klutchim and Hashem hakrovus kavanah, so Hashem eating truma, whatever, can the kavanah can come even after you were tevel, as long as before you dried off. That's what the Mikdash David suggests. So this is interesting. Usually we have a call called the tikkun rabbanan keinder raisa tikkun. Is there any keinder raisa over here? Do you ever have any din on the level of the raisa that the drying off is the gemara of the tefillah? So the gemara is a din, a mishnah is zavim. The din is a woman becomes a zavik doylov. She has a riyah 3 days in a row. Talak hasel is hazava yamim ves hazav beriyas. If a man has a riyah ziva 3 times on the same day, he becomes a zav. A zav al shtei riyas, a bal sholosh riyas, a slight difference for korban. But let's say a zav al sholosh riyas, the 3 riyas can be on 1 day. But for a zavo to become a zavik doylov, you have to have in 3 consecutive days within the yud alef yom shebei nida le nida. So the Mishnah says in Zavim, what if the man has a riyah ziva for an hour and it didn't stop? So an hour, you would say the first 20 minutes is the first riyah, the second 20 minutes is the second riyah, and the third 20 minutes, an hour is a long time. So it counts as 3 riyahs. What if the whole riyah ziva was only 3 minutes? You say the first minute was the first riyah, the second minute was the second riyah, the third minute was the third riyah. So the Mishnah says, if it was enough time to be tovel in the mikvah and to dry yourself off, to be tovel mikvah, dry yourself off, then it's counted as 3 different riyas. This is in shiurim, that's a halacha moshe mesina, that's a din deraisa. So you see, on the level of deraisa, there's a din. It's an awkward din, that one long riyah counts as 3 different riyas. It's considered 3 different riyas if there was enough time in between the first riyah mashu and the second riyah mashu, to be toivel in the mikveh and to dry you off the body. So this is called the tikkun rabbanan keinder raisa tikkun. There is a din deraisa that this is an extension of the rabbanan. There are a lot of dinim derabbanan. You always have to. It's always Rav Soloveitchik would always find that was one of the pet ideas. Whenever there's a din derabbanan, what's the gain deraisa? So sometimes it sheds light on what the din deraisa was. Sometimes it sheds light on what the din derabbanan is. But l'chera this din, all of it is topic that the Mishlam, that the Mikdash David quoted from the Gemara Chagiga, that you can have kavanah l'shem achilas kotshim up until this topic, is a gain deraisa of that din. If you have the 3 riyas, one long riyah on 1 day, if there was enough time to be all of it is topic, so then it's broken up into 3 riyas. Okay, Lina, the next week we'll continue with the malachas. Still a lot left. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Can I ask the Rav one question about that Iberfleisch? The Rav said you could wash your hands over, but when you take it out of the refrigerator and put it into the sink, isn't it muktza? You can't touch the meat.
Probably you can. If you're taking it out of the refrigerator, that's already an Isa Hachana. The only time this is in Europe, they didn't have any refrigerator. The only time this would be mutter is the meat is already in a container. Uh-huh. And all you have to do, you have to wash until it's a dime anyway. Instead of washing until it's a dime over there, you can wash over here. You have to put it into a container already, that's hachana lechol. So that you're not allowed to do. Yeah.
They used to hose it down in the trucks.
Yeah. They used to sprinkle water. Rav Soloveitchik used to make fun of that. He was very upset. Many of the old rabbanim would be makled very much in this. They would just hose it down a little bit, just to sprinkle. So he said, what are they making a joke out of the Chumash HaGoyim? Just declare we're not going to follow the Chumash HaGoyim and shine. You shouldn't make a joke out of it. He thought that it's not right. L'chatchil is supposed to soak the meat in water. So then they were makel. If you hose it down a lot, it's also good. But just to sprinkle a little water, that's a late son. Yeah. That was the practice, yeah. I apologize. I am supposed to speak on the base matters in another 5 minutes. That's why I gave this year tonight in the yeshiva. Okay, so I have to go down to the basement. Well, next week we will continue.
Okay. Thank you, Yasha Kolach.
Thank you.